I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is The Counter Ruck, a podcast brought to you by the Irish Times. My name is Nathan Johns. Thanks to our sponsors, Nifty Business. You can find out more about them at niftybusiness.ie. On today's episode, I'm delighted to be joined by former Ireland international Gordon Darcy. And our special guest, former Argentina and Leinster out-half and Leinster assistant coach, Felipe Contepomi. Felipe is going to talk to us today about his old Argentinian teammate, Gonzalo Quesada, who is now the head coach of Italy. Of course, this is Italy week for Ireland in the Six Nations. Gordon is with me in studio. Felipe, you're joining us on the line. I assume you're back home in Argentina?
Yes, I'm back home in Argentina, yeah.
You got the feet up. So are you working at the moment? Are you doing anything or just...
Yeah, no, definitely. Actually, there's quite busy because I have to build up the team and we've made some changes. So there's a lot of meeting, administration thing at the moment, but working. Yeah.
Sorry, we should say we did him a disservice. He is actually now the Argentina head coach.
He's the head coach. You got rid of checks finally and... Taking the top row.
No, Czech's been really good for us, and personally, I was very happy to continue with him. But well, then there's different things that they didn't agree. But it's been really good the year and a half with Czech's, and I think for us, it's like a continuity of a process. Even if it's a new cycle, a World Cup cycle, we'll continue doing what we've started with Czech's. You know, so. That's the whole idea, yeah.
Former Leinster coach Michael Checa, of course, who was in charge of Argentina at the World Cup. That kind of brings us full circle to all these connections. Yourself and Felipe played together. You played under Michael Checa. You played in that famous Heineken Cup winning side. Albeit if you did miss the end run with injury, Felipe. But I mean, you guys clearly go back quite a way. Looking at the history of the province there, 2006 in Toulouse, that famous win stands out. The Munster match in Croke Park where you did get injured, Felipe, that stands out as well. You guys have had some pretty big days together.
Yeah, absolutely. And got off to a bit of an auspicious start when we suppose we forgot to register them in Europe.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, things that happen. But I think it was a great time in Leinster, and more so, I had the chance to
practice your place
to finish my and out to touch as well. My whole kicking. I was lucky, you know. It was playing with Dars, Trico, Gerv, Shaggy, Dennis. It was like I was really lucky to feed into, you know, those backs, you know.
He was your 10. You were playing one outside him for a lot of your career. What was he like to play outside of?
I always can say very lucky to play with him. One of the most naturally skillful players to play. Could be frustrating sometimes when wouldn't kick the ball.
Especially on a quarterfinal winning 8-6 in Harlequins and not kicking it out to finish the game, no?
Yeah, but I think like all the players that Felipe mentioned there, I think we all had a very similar philosophy on how we wanted to play rugby. We actually did want to attack with as much as possible. And I think we started getting that balance right around probably from 2006 onwards. We're probably maybe one or two players short up front, maybe. But I think the overall philosophy of how we were trying to play was very much in there. And probably that win in Toulouse was very much a turning point for us because, you know, we were probably underdogs going into that game. But then defensively, we showed a bit of spirit, a bit of character. But the ambition to go for that final try was exactly what we wanted to try and build on as a team.
Was this the Dennis Hickey try in the corner?
Yeah, the Dennis Hickey try. And it's gas because it was across the board because Malcolm O'Kelly is standing out on the wide touchlines and he's actually the one calling the space to Felipe and to calling it in. You can just see his big, you know, big arm sticking out going, shouting at Felipe, the space is wide. And two quick passes gets the ball out there and, you know, the rest is a little bit of history.
It's on again. Kondipomi says we'll go. Hickey is racing away and he's going to get past Palouse. He's got to time his pass. Darcy back to Hickey. Hickey for the corner! That is awesome!
What are your memories of that day, Felipe? I think you kicked 21 points that day.
Yes, I think it was the same as Dar said. It was great to go. I think, I don't know why, and now in the last few years, maybe Ireland lost a bit of respect, but they had too much respect for the French sides or playing in France more than, not when they play in Ireland, but playing it in France is a special thing. And I think that day we realized we could... Obviously, they beat the two tries of Trico in Paris in 2001, whatever. But going to France against the best team in France, it was like something you took out of your shoulder and kind of lost that respect or that thing of, we can't do it. We actually can, you know. So it was great. Yeah, I think it was great. Unfortunately, 1 week later, we hit the wall, but against a great monster team. But, you know, it reality came there. We weren't prepared yet, you know.
In terms of the out half position, Felipe, Gordon was talking about Jack Crowley there. You've obviously worked with quite a few guys who would be looking to push on and compete with Jack now that Johnny Sexton is gone. When you were coaching at Leinster, you obviously had both Harry Byrne and Ciarán Frawley. Ross Byrne, maybe if he wasn't injured, would be in the conversation as well. From the guys that you've worked with, those out halves, I know you left, what, a couple of years ago, so Johnny was still there when you were coaching at Leinster. But how equipped are those players, those Leinster out halves, do you think to kind of push Jack Crowley now, especially given Crowley was so good on Friday night? How do you think they'll fare with that challenge?
First of all, it's not easy to step into the boots of Johnny. You know, he left a void, a space there, and Jack probably did really well. I think, obviously, with lots of things to improve and some mistakes, but his character, like mistakes wouldn't influence. You know, he got better when the time went by. I think Ireland is in a very good spot in terms of outcomes. You know, when you speak about the two Burns, Ross and Harry, when you speak about Frawley, I can talk more of the Leinster guys because I know them better, but you see Sam Prendergast coming down a bit on the ranks. And Jack Crowley, for me, it's an outstanding outhalf, so young and with such a character. So I don't know if you have another Johnny or it will come someone straight away like as good as what he's been, you know. But Ireland, they have good cover there, you know.
With those guys, those young Leinster players, obviously Ciarán was on the bench in Marseille, probably more so because of his versatility than anything else, covering fullback and centre. And with a 6-2 bench, you need that versatility. But I think it's fair to say throughout the last few years in bigger matches, when Johnny hasn't been there, it's been one of the Burns probably, and this season especially Harry, who's kind of been trusted to step up for Leinster. Whereas in previous years, I think Frawley has probably been ahead of him in the pecking order for Ireland, at least with Farrell. Do you think there is that little bit of, are the players viewed slightly differently between Leinster and Ireland camp, do you think?
It depends what you want. Like, as you said, you know, Frawley there, it's covering... He's a brilliant player to have because he's such a skillful, natural skillful player that He can play 10, 12, 15. He's very gifted fitness-wise and so on. So he's a great guy to have around because now the problem when you're so good and so versatile, you don't get the expertise or you don't get always the same position to play in. But he's more than good enough to play as an out half or a 12 or a 15. The Burns and Prendergast, they are more natural tens, and they play 10, and that's their position, you know. So it depends what you need and what you want to get out of how you want to make those covers and so on. But I think anyone can step in there. It's not about one player. Ireland is not relying on one savior coming, one player coming there and doing individual brilliance and carrying all the team by himself. It's one 15th of the team, you know, everyone does the role. And that's why Ireland plays so well, because they understand their role. And and I think any of those guys can step in and play and do their role, and just the team will keep on playing.
That's a really good point, actually, because I think it's two things. One is that Ireland have kind of, in the last couple of years of his career, they probably took a lot of responsibility off Sexton's shoulders in attack. And you saw Ringrose step up, Keenan step up. But equally, as a country, we're so used to that out half being one guy, the kind of the cult of personality of he's the guy. It was Elwood, it was Humphreys, it was Raj, it was Johnny. Like, we might actually just be in an era now where it's not going to be one guy. There might be one for Jack. He might get a few years, but it could be a little bit more by committee. Is that fair enough?
I think, yeah, there's lots of water to go under that particular bridge. And probably Leinster need to get a consistency in their out half to see can they create someone to challenge Jack Rowley, because at the moment there's continuous change in there, so nobody is really getting a good run at it. I think as well in the positions, for most teams, the role has changed. Really, the nine is such an important position now for most teams. You look at how important Gibson Park is, Anton Dupont, Aaron Smith, Faf de Kerk. That role has grown way more in the last 10 years. And I'd say they have probably more impact on, or can have more impact on games than the actual number 10. So you're kind of wondering, you know, is that era of the 10 being the most dominant position in the halfback pairing, has that changed? Probably has. And the responsibility, so when Jack Rowley comes in, you know, he doesn't have to be the be all and end all of everything. James Lowe can do the, you know, the relieving kicking. Gibson Park can do some of the tactical kicking with the box kicking. Other players can take responsibility. So you look at the more dangerous playmaking out halves coming to the fore with players like Marcus Smith, Finn Russell, Bowden Barrett in those key positions. You know, Garbisi, even for Italy, who we'll get on to at the weekend, the halfbacks for the Garbisi brothers at halfback for Italy this weekend, really playing, you know, sharing that workload again. So I think, yeah, definitely the way the positions have changed, which will, I think, naturally suits a player like Jack Rowley, Kieran Frawley, Harry Byrne, where they are more individual threats in that position.
Felipe Gordon made a really good point there on the Leinster 10s maybe not getting nailed down as the starter for an extended period. I think Ross Byrne has done it a little bit when Sexton was injured, but this season it's been a rotation. Do you think that's the right way to go about it? Rotate these three young guys, four if you include Prendergast, or is it a case of one guy should kind of be given the keys to the car and see what he can do?
No, the problem, I think if you can have three guys playing and the team keep performing at the same level, that's the ideal world. An injury can take you out. And if you're depending on one player for him to be the mastermind, I can guarantee you it's Murphy's Law. When you are on a final, day before, 3 days before, he's injured. And what do you do? No one can step up. You're in the ideal world. But it's the difficult thing is to get a team to perform and a system for you to perform. And no matter who plays, the team will play the same way. That's the most difficult thing to do. And I think Leinster has done it. And I think Ireland has done it. And that's why they are so successful.
I think you can actually make the point as well, if you wanted to, that Leinster have done that for a while now. Because, I mean, I think when you got injured, Felipe, that day in Croke Park in 2009 and Sexton came on and did what he did, I think that caught a lot of people outside of Leinster by surprise. But, you know, he's not doing that out of nowhere. He's doing that because, like you said, he's probably slotted into a system and he's performed really well.
Yeah, like I think you get that. Every player has a moment or a day or a time where that's their opportunity and they either take it or they don't take it. Johnny's happened to be that day in Croke Park and he was ready to go into it. And again, as Felipe is talking about, it's quality all around him, a system. But like at that time, there wasn't systems. You know, you had loose structures about directions of where you might go. You had maybe one or two power plays. An awful lot of it was playing what was in front of you at that time. And you know, we have a very, very structured approach to rugby. And I think the best teams are trying to rediscover how they play a little bit more. It's like Jack Rowley, a perfect example of it, has had a meteoric rise at probably four times over the last 18 months, has had an opportunity, and he's taken every one of those milestones, you know, has delivered and gets the plaudits as they go along.
I'll continue my chat with Felipe and Gordon after the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to The Counter-Ruck. I'm Nathan Johns. Still here with me is Gordon Darcy and Felipe Contepomi. I want to talk to you now as well, Felipe, about Italy's coach. Obviously, it's Italy on Sunday, Ireland are playing. They have a new guy in, Gonzalo Quesada. Probably a little bit of an unknown on this side of the water. I know he's coached a lot in French rugby. It's been a while since he played. The only thing I can remember about him is the English journalists nicknaming him Speedy Gonzalo because he took too long over his place kicks. That's my abiding memory of him. But you obviously, I think he's a little bit older than you, Felipe, so you guys, maybe he was more established in the Argentina squad when you came in. But what are your memories of working with him, what he was like as a player and how he looks at the game?
I know him quite well. Our families are good friends. He was a brilliant kicker, one of the best I've ever played with in terms of goal kicking. And I know he took a lot of time and kept kicking. Even when the tee came up, he kept kicking with sand. So I think he was the last kicker with sand in the world. He's a very smart, good, meticulous coach. Obviously, he's got a challenge in front because of the history of Italy in the Six Nations and so on. But I think he inherited a very good Italian team because Crowley did a very good job there. You could see the improvement last year in the Six Nations and so on from Italy. And Gonzalo would inherit that and some very young players, good young players with a lot of enthusiasm. And I'm sure that he will build a good culture around the team to bring out the best out of them, you know.
Stylistically, what do you think about the appointment? Because you look at the way Italy play, they throw the ball wide more than any other team in the Six Nations. I think I saw a stat the other day that I think something like 60% of their attacks go more than 10 metres from the ruck. So they play a lot wider than teams like Ireland, teams like France, teams like England. And you look at that and you look at, here's an Argentinian former out half coming in. You talk about DNA of countries. Everyone thinks of the Argentinian DNA as what you were saying earlier, Gordon, a little bit unstructured, a little bit more off the cuff, put that with a team that needs to play wide in a way that makes sense. But equally, he's talking about making them a bit more pragmatic. We've only seen him play one match so far, but how do you think he's going to marry his own philosophy with what Italy need?
He'll try to get the players make the right decision when to go or when to be more like, okay, we'll go and play down there. I think he'll be more like that rather than just playing for the sake of playing wide. And he's quite smart in that sense. He works really hard. So he'll definitely would have studied or will study Ireland quite well. And he will know where to go and try to attack them, you know. Now, for me, he has a big challenge this weekend because you're playing Ireland at the moment, probably one of the best, if not the best team in the world, you know. So it's a tough one. But he'll be more pragmatic than maybe what Italy has shown the last Six Nations.
So, and that's it's a really good, I suppose, trying to draw that out a little bit. If you're setting up a team, so you have a way to go. So what Italy have now is they've put in an awful lot of younger players and they are very good. They've all come through the underage under Stephen Aboud and there's been a big focus on skill set and attacking rugby. So now they have invested in youth in the Six Nations. As a coach, when you talk about setting them up in a pragmatic way, you also have to let players make decisions on the field. And how do you strike that balance between trying to win the game and then letting players take risks? Because that's what they did very well against Italy, where they saw the opportunities, they backed themselves, they went after them. It's kind of that chicken and egg scenario for a coach. You want to win the game. You talk about being pragmatic, having a strong kicking game. But then you also want to back your players when they see the opportunity to go after it. So like the Garbisi brothers were a perfect example of that. They made really, really strong decisions. So that must be an attribute of his as well, where he's putting them into a shape, but also telling them that if you see it, play it.
When I talk about system in Ireland, it's more than system, is principles of play or fundamentals of your game, you know. And when you have that identity, it's about trusting that you won't judge them by the outcome, but more so by the decision they make.
They'll have to try something creative, but I think it is interesting. It goes back to that thing of it's getting the person ready at this level, isn't it? Not so much as coaching and telling them what to do.
Is that different? Because I think towards the back end of your career, Darce, the narrative at least was that being in an Ireland environment was very prescriptive. Whereas I think nowadays, it's like Felipe says, the modern day coach is much more about, okay, you coach the decision maker rather than the individual decisions.
Yeah, well, what happens with probably around 2012, 13 was we got into this era of structured multi-phase attack. And it probably took 3 or 4 years for the defences to figure out how to counter it. But once they figured out how to counter it, that was almost the end of the multi-phase, structured multi-phase attack, where players didn't have to think, they didn't have to look, they just went ruck by ruck. So that game has completely evolved now. So now you're asking players to think again and to make decisions. So that's where it's, for me, it comes into that whole thing of it's the culture you in behind it, the trust between the coach and the player. The players have that psychological safety where they know if it's the right decision, but the execution is wrong, that it's okay.
On that point, Felipe, it's really interesting with the eras and the structured era to the slightly less structured era. I think when you played definitely in that Argentina team, it was a lot more off the cuff, less structured play. So you look at yourself, you look at someone like Gonzalo, who was also an out half who played in that era. It's really interesting to see you guys now coaching when the game has changed so much. Is that difficult going through that process and kind of coaching in a way that might be slightly different to what came naturally to you when you were a player?
We were playing off the cuff without a frame. We were just playing really. Now there is, for me, the right balance is to set up a frame for them to make good decisions. The difficult thing in a team sport is that you have 15 players, and if everyone is playing their own game and they don't understand the frame you're playing in, it's very difficult to coordinate or have that cohesion between the players. From our days playing off the cuff, we went to a in general, the world went to a very, to the opposite, being completely structured. And that's where now you need to find the balance of giving the players a frame to play with and allowing them to make decisions and show their skills, you know?
But even back when we played, we're not that old yet. but in that era when it was, you know, a little bit looser, there were players that were always thinking, it may not have been consciously, but they were still thinking about the game. So, you know, in our team, it may have been you, it might have been Brian, it might have been Chris Whittaker or Guy. Other players just thinking about maybe we should rolling the ball into touch, you know, O'Gara for Munster. When, say, a moment wasn't right, they would just roll the ball into touch. People, just their natural ability to read a game was present and it was kind of catered for. And now you're kind of almost encouraging players to think like that again, where you have to be, it goes back to the same principles where you have to be thinking about, is this a game management situation? Have we just scored? Have we just had an error? Or are we looking to build pressure and trying to develop that thought process with players again? Because I remember when you arrived and it like a 2-on-2 in the wide channel, reasonably well defended. I came back under for a switch and you ended up passing the ball into touch. But what was interesting about it was I was like, oh, this is a low chance of us creating anything here. So I'll just try and cut back in to go for a switch and just try and find some support. Whereas you were actually able to go, I can get the outside defender to look in and then we create the opportunity on the touchline. It was, yeah. It took me a little bit of time to understand. But then once you understand the players and their capability, it's kind of what you're saying. You've got that. Once you give them a little bit of freedom and they understand, but you have to make some mistakes along the way. But then ultimately, what's more valuable, running a switch back into traffic and creating another ruck or creating an opportunity down in a 5 meter channel? And that's where we're slowly coming back around to, I think, in rugby.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no right or wrong in rugby, you know, and that's the thing, because what you were thinking is correct. And what I was thinking is correct too. The thing is, you need to put both minds on the same page at the same moment. And that's the beauty of a team sport. And that's where I feel that you need to give clear principle fundamentals, a frame for them to express themselves afterwards, you know, but try everyone to read or be on the same page. And that's the art of coaching.
Yeah. Well, and also let's be clear, you fully blamed me for the ball going into touch. So that's obviously an out half thing between you and all the other out halves I played with. It was always my fault.
That's where I've learned and I got better. There's no right or wrong. We were both wrong, but on those days you were wrong.
It's never the outhouse fault, Gordon, is it? Never the outhouse fault. Listen, Felipe, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate that.
Thanks, Dr. Phil.
Big pleasure. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Counter Ruck, brought to you by The Irish Times. My name is Nathan Johns. My thanks again to our guests, Gordon Darcy, and of course, Felipe Contepomi. Many thanks to our sponsors, Nifty Business. They're at niftybusiness.ie. Be sure to subscribe to The Counter Ruck wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next Monday after the Ireland-Italy game.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.